This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب All praises due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran talks to us often about death. He says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Indeed, every soul shall taste death. This is a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about a truth that we already know, that we shall all die, no matter how much we try to avoid it, no matter how much we think that it will avoid us, no matter how much we think we're going to escape it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. That wherever you may be, death will overtake you. Even if you should be within a tower of fortresses. No matter where we go, no matter where we hide, in a tower or in a fortress, no matter if you are young or old, no matter if you are healthy or ill, death will overtake us wherever we may be when it is our time. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, أكثروا من ذكر هادم اللذات. Increase in the remembrance of the destroyer of desires. قالوا وما هادم اللذات يا رسول الله. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the destroyer of desires? قال الموت. He said, it is death. And so the believer is instructed and obliged to think about death often, to remember death often, to visit the graveyards often. And so it's important that we reflect upon death every day to prepare ourselves for the day that will come. Yesterday, many of us received shocking news that one of our teachers, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, passed away suddenly. And perhaps many of you do not know him, but he had a profound impact on the da'wah around the world, and especially in the Western world. Each of you has benefited either directly or indirectly from him. If you come to Jumu'ah here, you listen to my khutbah, I have benefited and he has had a profound impact on me, on how I've learned, my approach, how I speak. And this is true of so many different teachers and speakers throughout the West. And his life is full of many, many lessons that we can all learn and benefit from. And I wish today in this khutbah to discuss just some of the lessons that I have learned in my life from Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif. My family has known his family for many, many years. And growing up, I used to attend Masjid Salahuddin in Scarborough, where my father remains the imam. And there, Sheikh Muhammad's father would run the bookstore, and his sister taught in the Islamic school. And so his father was like my second father, because I would go to the masjid, spend hours with him in the bookstore, talking to him. And one day he told me his son, who had been in Medina studying, was now in America. And he was starting a school where he was teaching people courses about Islam. And I was young, still in high school, about to go to university, and I wanted to study Islam, but it was very difficult at that time. It was difficult to travel abroad to study, and here there were very little options. The halaqat and the masajid would start, then the students would slowly thin out, and then the halaqah would die. There seemed to be nowhere where you could study and learn. Many of the teachers didn't know English very well, so it was difficult to understand them sometimes. And when I heard that Sheikh Muhammad started this initiative, I messaged him and emailed him. I said, you have to start in Canada. And I started working with him at that time. For 2 years, I would go to every masjid, every MSA in Toronto, talk to them about Al-Maghrib, bring Sheikh Muhammad to come and to speak and to teach. And Sheikh Muhammad's goal was very simple. He wanted to make learning the religion accessible. He wanted to make learning the deen very easy and accessible. And he understood, as someone who was born and raised in Canada, he understood the mindset of Muslim youth. He understood that they needed something that was professional, that was organized. So instead of teaching in the masjid, he brought the classes to the universities. So he would teach there where they already are. And he made sure that his classes, they used PowerPoint presentations at a time when no one else would. He had very well-designed workbooks, quizzes. And more importantly, he would think about examples and parables that would connect with the life of young Muslims, so that they didn't feel learning the religion was learning an old history book that they had no connection with, but that they understood the deen was something that was living and affected them in their daily lives. And in the past, there were people who criticized his approach in one way or another, but eventually it became clear that what he was doing was resonating with young Muslims. And so many different da'wah initiatives and institutes and organizations have since been established, all of them utilizing the techniques and the approaches of Sheikh Muhammad. And so inshallah, even as he has passed away, he takes a share of the reward of not only his work, but the work of so many others that became inspired by his work. He made learning accessible, not only in these techniques and approaches, but by him himself being accessible. Sometimes the people of knowledge, they carry themselves above the people. But he would be with us. So if he taught a class, he would come and eat dinner with us. He would say jokes with us. And this is very important, to connect with people in order to understand them. Imam al-Dhahabi, in his Siyar A'lam al-Nubala, his book on the biographies of different scholars, he mentions that one of the descriptions of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Sirin is one of the great scholars of the Salaf. They said, رَأَيْتُ مُحَمَّدْ ibn Sirin يَحْتُثْ بِأَحَادِيثِ النَّاسِ وَيُنْشِدِ الشَّعْرِ وَيُضْحِكْ حَتَّى يَمِيلِ. That of the descriptions of Muhammad ibn Sirin, this great scholar of the Salaf, that they said he would speak the speech of the people. He would tell the stories of the people, speak the language of the people. And he would say the poetry that the people would say. And he would laugh. When someone would say a joke, he would laugh so much that he would keel over in his laughter. They said, but وَإِذَا جَاءَ الْأَحَادِيثِ مِنَ الْمُسْنَدِ. But if someone mentioned the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, then he would cry. Then he would weep. So he was connected to the deen, but at the same time, he would be with the people. And he would spread the words amongst the people and say the poetry amongst the people. And so being with the people, being on their level, seeing what they are seeing, feeling what they are feeling, this is important to be a good leader who can connect with other people. And he was very action-oriented. Another lesson of his. Famously, the institute that he founded, Al-Maghrib Institute, has taught more than 100,000 students over the years. But in reality, throughout his life, he was constantly doing different things. He started something called Iman Rush, which was CDs of lectures back when no one was doing CDs and the CDs were very bad audio. He made sure the audio quality was good. He marketed it very well. He started a website called khutbah.com, which was khutbahs that were written down. So many different initiatives that he did throughout his life. And he did all of this in a short period of time. He passed away yesterday at the age of 47. And he would say something to us. He would say, I saw many people, they studied the deen, and they got a lot of knowledge, but they did very little with that knowledge. He said, I want to be someone who used the knowledge and acted with it. Whatever knowledge I have, I want to act with it. And this is the truth. He studied Sharia in Medina, and he received a bachelor's. And there are others who received masters and received PhDs. And even beyond the PhDs, they've written books and they've, you know, studied with scholars. Yet his work has been far more impactful than others. He benefited more people because he acted and he worked, constantly coming up with new initiatives, new projects, constantly trying to help people and do things to serve people. And from this he would teach us, of the teachings that he would teach many people, is that dua helps you set your goals. You are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make that dua, that lets you see your vision of the future. And that's what you're working towards. And dua is not something you do and then you recline on your cushion. You sit back and you say, I made dua, that's my job. No, dua is about you setting a goal, finding that goal, setting that goal, working towards that goal. And he preached very strongly for all of us to strive towards ihsan, excellence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا عَمَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا فَلْيُتْقِنُوا. If any of you does a deed, then let them perfect it. And this is something he would teach us over and over again. And he wouldn't just preach it, he would do it. And so he would seek the best methods of advertising, of marketing, read their books, take their courses himself. Then he would apply it to his own da'wah organizations. Once I remember I made a flyer, we made a flyer for an event, we sent it to him. And he said, no, you have to change it. You have to change this and this and you need to make this align, because he says the way the person looks at the flyer, they look at it in a certain way. And so if we align it properly, then it will be pleasing to the person. That much detail about a flyer. But he wanted things to be as perfect as possible. He wanted us to strive to do things as beautifully as possible. That Allah loves al-muhsineen, He loves the people who do ihsan, who do that which is of excellence. So He made us strive that everything we do in our life, we try to do it as perfectly as possible, as excellently as possible. So if we're making a flyer, we make the best possible flyer. If we're teaching a class, we try to teach the best possible class. If we're giving a khutbah, we try to give the best possible khutbah. This is what he taught us, that everything we do, we strive always to do the best. Always to do the best. And I remember once I asked him, I said, you know, we did a project and the project was very successful. And I felt very good. I did this really good project. And then the next time the project came or we were going to do a different project, I didn't have the motivation because I felt like I already did something. So I said to him, how do you deal with that? When you're already succeeding, how do you have motivation to do more? And he said to me that you should always say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants better from me. Whatever I've achieved, Allah wants better from me. And when he said this, I actually wrote it down and I put it on my desk. That every time I would feel my motivation fading away, I could look at this statement, Allah wants better from me. Whatever good I've done, Allah still wants to see better from me. Whatever I think I've achieved, Allah wants to see even better from me. And this is one of the lessons that he taught us, that we constantly strive to achieve more. We never feel like we've done enough. There's more that we can do, and more that we can do. And the Shaykh also very much disliked gossip and backbiting, and hearing about other people in a negative way. If anyone spoke in his presence negatively about other Muslims, he would visibly be very uncomfortable and get upset. And once when I was younger, I made this mistake. I was too interested in what people would say, this person and that person, and sometimes the drama and the refutations that would happen in the da'wah scene. So one day I said to him, did you hear that Fulan said this about you? So he took me aside. And he said, Ibrahim, in the future, if you hear something like this, don't ever tell me. He said, I don't want to have negative feelings in my heart towards other Muslims. And this was a sign of his sincerity, because he really did love the Ummah. And even if people were saying negative things about him, he didn't want to hear it. Because he wanted, when he met that person, to only meet them with happiness. If he met that person, to only meet them with ihsan and with rahmah and with mercy. And he loved the ummah. In fact, his email address and later his social media handle was Nation Builder. Because he saw his goal as this. He wanted to build the ummah. That was his goal, that was his understanding that he saw for himself, was building the ummah. That was his, you know, his vision. And he would always ask us, what's your vision? What's your goal? And that's something we should be asking ourselves. What is our vision and our goal? He saw his vision was helping to build the ummah. And wallahi, that's what he did. He built a generation of youth that learned from him. A generation of du'at, of preachers and scholars and teachers who learned from him and benefited from him. And so subhanAllah, you know, the scholars talk about this as well. We have different madhab in Islam. The madhab of Abu Hanifa, the madhab of Imam Shafi'i, the madhab of Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad. And sometimes the scholars ask this question, why did these madhab become prominent? Because they were not the only scholars. There were other scholars who also founded madhab. Imam al-Zuhri has a madhab. Many other scholars founded their own madhab. But these madhahib became prominent and others did not. Why? One of the reasons for this, they said, is because these four individuals, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa, they built students that were leaders. And those students spread their madhab and their usul across the Muslim world. So Imam Malik had his students, Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim took the madhab of Imam Malik, took it to Egypt, and then to North Africa. And until today, throughout North Africa, the madhab of Imam Malik is prominent. Imam Ahmed, his sons, took his madhab amongst the students, took his madhab, and they spread his madhab and his teachings. Imam Abu Hanifa had Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani and Qadi Abu Yusuf, and they took his madhab and they spread it. So because they invested in students that became leaders, they invested their time in their students and they built them up and they mentored them, their teachings then became spread. And this is what we see in our Prophet ﷺ. If our Prophet was our Prophet, but he never invested in the Sahaba, in teaching them, in building them, in strengthening them, in giving them responsibilities. If he never did this, ﷺ, and he passed away, what would have happened to the Ummah? The religion would not have spread, because there would not be an Abu Bakr to take over after. There would not be a Umar to spread this religion. There would not be people like Khalid ibn Walid. There would not be people like Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. There would not have been leaders to spread Islam across the world. But the Prophet invested in them. He gave them responsibilities. He taught them. He corrected them. He strengthened them. He helped them. He invested in people, in the youth around him. And when he passed away, they were able to take the mantle and go. And Islam became incredibly prominent around the world. And this is a very, very important lesson for all of us. If we want to build Islam, we have to build the youth. If we want to build Islam, we have to invest in the next generation. Invest in the resources they need. Invest in the teachers they need. And being with them, mentoring them, helping them. Alhamdulillah, in this building, we have a summer camp in the morning and a summer camp in the evening. We have youth who are coming in and trying to build them, have different teachers that are building them and helping them and strengthening them. This is important that we invest even more. What we're doing is not enough. We have to invest even more in the youth so that next generation can take it forward, because eventually we're going to pass away too. And so what are we leaving forward? And what is the barakah we're looking to leave forward? And inshallah, think of the sadaqah jariyah that Sheikh Muhammad has earned. Of all the different du'a that are preaching, learning from him. All the different institutes that have taken, you know, a cue from his cues. Who have taken an approach from his approaches. And he receives a share of all of that reward. He passes away and the good maybe is constantly increasing for him. And one of the lessons I'll take from him as well, was he was incredibly optimistic. Every time you see him, he has a smile. And that wasn't just him when he's giving a speech or giving a lecture. All the time he's like this. He's smiling. And I remember a brother told me a story yesterday after we heard he passed away. He said he went for Hajj. And Sheikh Muhammad would tell people, when you go for Hajj, very good advice, make a list of dua. He said, I spent months, maybe 3 months, building a list of dua. All the things I want to make dua for, telling people, what do you want me to pray for? So the names of people who are asking him to give dua, to make dua. So he has this huge list. He says, on the day of Arafah, I lost the list. The list is gone. He said, I felt frustrated. He said, so I started making dua. Oh Allah, anyone who asked me for forgiveness, please forgive them. And you know, things like, anyone who asked me of something, you know, please fulfill their request. And then he said, later on, I met up with Sheikh Muhammad. And I told him the story. I listened to your advice. I wrote the list. And then the day of Arafah, the list is gone. So he said to him, Alhamdulillah, look at how Allah took away the list and he made your dua very efficient, very simple, so that you can make this dua over and over without worrying too much. Anytime something would happen, he would always find the good about it. And this demeanor of being optimistic is so important and perhaps is the reason why he was so productive. I mentioned this in the khutbah before. And there's a book called The Happiness Advantage. And it seeks to answer the question, are successful people happy or are happy people successful? And the answer is happy people are successful. Because when you're happy and you're optimistic and no matter what happens, you look for the good and the bright side, then when you fail, the failure is not going to keep you down. If you fail, you'll say, Alhamdulillah, let me try something else. You're going to get up and do something else right away. Whereas if we're unhappy people and we fail, then that we stay depressed and sad and not able to emerge from the failure that we've experienced. And we see this in our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, optimistic even in the most dire circumstances. In a Ta'if, after his wife has died and his uncle has died, and the people of the Ta'if cast him out with stones, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it feels like every single door has closed. The people of Mecca are attacking him physically, even the people of the Ta'if are kicking him out. And the angel comes to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells him, give me your command, I will collapse the mountains on the people of the Ta'if. And the Prophet says, no, perhaps their offspring, their children will be Muslim. Optimistic, positive, in every moment. Perhaps, inshallah, something good will happen in the future. And this is something that we should carry on. Final point I will say. There is commentary on the great Khalifa, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, one of the great caliphs in the history of Islam. There are books and books about the life of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. The rule of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, his reign, what he said, what he did, the reforms, the changes he made. There is more about the life of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz than the rulers who came before him and after him. Even though he was only in power for 2 years. And those who were before him and after him were in power for a decade, more than a decade. And yet he did more in 2 years than they did in decades. And the scholars say this is a sign of sincerity, of ikhlas. Allah puts barakah in your time. And so in a short period of time, they're able to do so much. Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif was alive for only 47 years. And he passed away yesterday. We might live double his lifespan. We might live to 80, to 90, to 100. But the question is, are we going to do even half as much as what he did? And subhanAllah, as I say this, if he was alive and here, he would be motivating you. He would be telling you, if I could do this, you could definitely do it. If I did this much, you can definitely do even more. That was his way. And so, on one day, just like he passed away, we're going to pass away. Just like he was buried today, we are going to be buried one day. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sat on the footsteps of a grave, he said to the Sahaba, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. In the likes of this moment, let those who do your work, do your actions, because this moment is going to come. So let's not let our time slip away. Let's learn the lessons of people who are alive in our communities, like Sheikh Muhammad, and people of the past, like the Sahaba and the great scholars. Learn from their examples and try to do as much as we can try to do whatever initiatives we can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when we pass away, there is a sadaqah jariyah, there is good that is continuing, that we will benefit from in our grave. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Just a couple of points, announcements. One is Brother Nurani, who usually gives the adhan, he's quite sick, he's in the hospital. He had a problem with a kidney stone and it became a bit complicated. So he's asking for everyone to make dua for him. He had an emergency surgery, I think, yesterday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a quick and full shifa, ameen. The second, inshallah, after the Jum'ah Salah, we will pray Salat al-Ghaib for Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif. I know there's difference of opinion of this, but in the Hanbali and the Shafi'i madhab, and many scholars have accepted this opinion, that when someone of prominence, of importance passes away, you can pray Salat al-Ghaib, the prayer of janazah and absentee, while he's absent. We can pray for him, inshallah, after Salat al-Jum'ah. So I hope, inshallah, you'll stay behind and we'll pray for him. Inna Allahu malaikatu yusallun 'alan nabiyya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim 'ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin ma dhakarahu adh-dhakirun al-abrar wa salli 'alayhi rabbana ma tadawwa' miskun wa fah. Salli 'alayhi rabbana salatan wa salaman da'imin ila yawmiddin wa 'ala alihi wa ashabihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin wa 'ala ummahatil mu'minin وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم لا تدعنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا همّا إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك الرضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسترتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. واذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عبد الله، قم الصلاة.